You can remove the work. It's not going to change the burnout. People going, oh, I took the weekend off. I didn't work any night this week, or I went on a 2-week vacation. As soon as they come back, it's back. You didn't unwind burnout and the energy is not there.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant. You're hosting your guide to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home, and I hope that you are having a great week. This week, we have another outstanding guest, Mr. Peter Atherton.
Well, great to be here. I'm a fully recovered professional engineer. For 24 years, I was a practicing civil engineer, most of that time as a principal and owner of an engineering firm. Enjoyed all of that up until a point where I didn't anymore. I burned out, not on what I was doing, but how I was doing it. After taking a year off and figuring out what went wrong, I realized I love our profession and came back as a leadership consultant, a strategic planner. And so that's what I do now and have done for the last 8 years, really working primarily with high performing organizations, high performing leadership teams, and loving my career again and approaching it differently.
What was your mindset during that career journey?
Well, 7 or 8 years in the making, I was able to progress in my career early, had great mentors, great opportunities, and took them. Really enjoyed all the professional aspects, but over time, it became overwhelming, exhausting, feeling overloaded all the time. I wanted to win at life and made choices with my family, but the overload continued, the overwhelm continued, feeling more exhausted. Even though I was able to create more space in my life, just emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally exhausted. And it reached a point where I started checking out. You go from exhaustion, and then at some point, just saying, you know what, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't necessarily want to do it this way. And 10 years ago, it was, I'm not sure what's happening, right? And I was burning out, but it was not working hard enough, right? So, I mean, there's different words to describe that process that happened 10 years ago that it's safer to talk about. It's healthier to talk about, especially with high performers. Middlers and lower performers could be great people, but they're not going to burn out.
Yeah.
Only high achievers burn out. It's a lot of the work I focus on today.
Yeah. I want you to speak to the high achiever listening to this podcast. They don't know they're on their way to burnout. What are the indicators? What are some of the things that you can remember or that you work with your clients with to let them know? Start thinking, if you are experiencing this, you might want to consider doing X, or it might be an indication that you're on your path to burnout.
What's on the path to burnout? So I'd say years ago, a decade ago, it really was this constant overload that would lead to overwhelm, that would lead to exhaustion. You'd have this progression through that would lead to this burnout disengagement cycle, and you could hop back and forth kind of around it, but fueling that would be work frustrations. I'm being recognized for this. We say this, but we're doing that, and it takes a while for organizations to evolve. What am I doing this for? This loss of efficacy on top of feeling overloaded and exhausted. Like, where's my impact? Do we have a mission? Are we living our mission? And then again, am I compensated well? You kind of have these work frustrations. They sort of fuel this burnout disengagement cycle. And on the other side, we're feeling on the personal side, we're missing out on time. So like all this is coming at a cost. I'm sensing the cost of this. And it could be with family, with friends, loved ones. It could be just alone time. But what I've found is if it is in this constant overload with work and we haven't figured out the processes and systems and built teams to sort of get us out of that, and if we have a series of work frustrations, personal frustrations can grow into resentments. And that's a significant fuel to the burnout disengagement cycle. It could take it took me 2 decades to sort of get to this burnout disengagement cycle, kind of rolling around in that for a little bit. It could take people less. There's no judgment on the time. We could sit in this burnout disengagement cycle for a while. What I see differently today is that process is accelerated if we're not feeling energized by the work we're doing and we're not feeling aligned with the work we're doing. And I think that is a manifestation of personal agency. Back in the 90s until recently, there was more work than people and always the implicit, if not you, someone else, right? So work a little harder type thing. I think now employee at will has flipped post-COVID. People take responsibility for themselves more. And I really think that energy and alignment, I refer to it as an employee engagement 2.0 that we really have to design for. I feel like that is getting people to burn out faster than the constant work overload. Am I getting energy from my work or is this an energy sink? And one of the areas I talk about in the book is designing for work life and business success. We're familiar with winning at work and life and balancing that. We're getting better at it, integrating it, balance and integration, depending on the season you're in.
Let me ask you a question. What if you had a coach in your corner every week, helping you focus on what matters most, become a more effective communicator, and to lead well? That's the ideal behind Engineer Your Success Insiders, my private podcast for leaders who want practical tools, not just theory. Every week, in just 3 to 5 minutes, you'll get one story, one insight, and one action that you can use right away. The goal is to prepare you for those critical moments that matter at work and at home. If you're ready to take the next leap in your leadership, click the link in the show notes and join Engineer Your Success Insiders today. This is Dr. James Bryant, your coach in your corner.
But the other component and what I work with organizations on is, if you're a high-achieving professional, who you work for matters. Do they understand it's a marathon, not a sprint? Just like any high-performing athlete, right? We're high-performing professionals. You don't work out every day, right? There's mental preparation as well as physical preparation. So it's not just about work. Back in the day, if you have work frustrations and personal frustrations, you can remove the work. It's not going to change the burnout. People go on, I took the weekend off. I didn't work any night this week, or I went on a 2-week vacation. As soon as they come back, it's back. You didn't unwind burnout and the energy is not there. We're figuring out what causes burnout, but it is evolving, especially for the high performer. The key is not to work less. The key is to work more effectively and strategically. It's not just about not doing work. It's about doing it more productively.
Was there a key moment in your journey where you said, okay, I know I have to change. Something has to change.
One of the pivotal moments was going through, we did kind of leadership succession, firm succession planning, strategic planning. I wanted to be the next CEO, the next president. It was the peak of what I was doing. And we went into this sort of strategic planning, succession planning event. And it was like, I think a couple of days on one side of a weekend and a couple of days on the other side of a weekend. And I had my name in a hat and I wanted to be that. We had done some pre-work ahead of time and the responses I was hearing, just the conversations were not setting well with me. I had this epiphany over the weekend that I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want that. I thought my peak of my career would be this thing. I don't want it. I don't know that I want where I'm at now. I came in Monday and told my partners, in 5 to 10 years, I'm doing something different. I was talking with friends and people I was close to. I think I burned out. I've been doing research. People say, you need to write a book on that. That was my first book, Reversing Burnout. And I was like, I write specs. I write reports. I don't write books. But I'm thankful they said, listen, it took you 7 years really kind of figure this thing out. You can help someone in 7 months or 7 days, write a book. After my gap year and reconstituting myself, I started doing kind of the leadership consulting, working with different firms. And COVID hit. And very quickly, within that, There were firm, I was working with progressive organizations and really wanting to do the right thing. Now that we have resources, let's invest. We want to be better. We're better. We want to be the best. In some cases, we're the best. We want to be the only. During COVID, there was a separation of organizations who were proactive leadership and understanding this. And COVID exposed a lot of organizational ills, leadership ills. But they also, companies that really did a great transition, like, wow, this is just a representation of you can now work remotely because you've been doing a lot of things well and other companies. So I started really being what the high achievers were doing. And so for 3 years, really what is separating high achieving leaders, high achieving teams, high achieving organizations, I started shifting into the organizational application of what I called next level leadership. I've been doing that for a while, but I needed to get next level leadership out of my head and out of my slide decks. So next level leadership is it's foundational. It's all the things that I see in individual leaders, leadership teams, and organizations that really are foundational to new era success and achieving not just success, but next level success, healthy growth that's sustainable. Not just profits, but prosperity, which is profits plus a thriving culture. I needed to get that out of my head to other people. I put it in a book, and now that allows me to really focus on the organizational aspects. And so the book I'm writing now is on the application at organization levels. Once we have this higher level of leadership, we can do many beautiful things. If you read through next level leadership and it resonates with you, we can work together. If you read through that and it doesn't, then I'm not your person. I'm not the firm to work for to advance your organization.
Yeah. I did want to talk about a few concepts in next level leadership. I appreciate you sending me a copy. I've enjoyed reading it. Two of the kind of broader concepts that I wanted to talk about. One is the high performance progression, because you talk about both their personal growth and impact and professional growth and impact. And the other is the essential power skills and habits. So those are the two I think we can spend some time unpacking.
If we start with essential power skills and habits, documented over the last 3 years, different things that were separating leaders and leadership teams and their sort of mindsets and characteristics, as well as skill sets and actions. I developed the top 21 performance differentiators and actually built an assessment on that. And I characterized this, that this is what's happening. And these are highly moral, highly ethical, high performing people. Some were making choices leading to success and some to overwhelm, burnout, and not doing so well, right? A lot of it is the pulls of the day-to-day, the busyness. And so in order as a pre-step, or a step towards really living out the top 21 performance differentiators. And we're on a spectrum. There were habits that I recognized in myself and I recognized in people that really were creating the skills that were necessary. So there were four power skills and critical and strategic thinking that was going to sit on top, like the next level leadership sits on top of what we need. Critical and strategic thinking is not by accident. We want to respond to something. We don't want to react to it. We want to understand. We don't want an opinion. We want a point of view. So there's all kinds of different aspects in thinking about strategically. Thinking is not just what are the inputs, but what are the outcomes and outputs we want. Thinking systematically. Power skill number one, critical and strategic thinking, getting back to that, digging deeper into it. Then there was communication was power skill number two, really being able to talk above the noise. And there's different aspects of that. And I talk in the book about communication being really important. Connection being the third power skill of being able to connect with people. And if you don't connect with someone, you can't move them. You won't be able to effectively communicate. You won't share your critical and strategic thinking. And then the fourth power skill is alignment. Align, not just understand like where the organization's going, where you want to go, where the client wants to go, but align that with where the team needs to be, right? So it's kind of putting that in action. And so those skills, again, just don't show up. What I found underneath those skills were power habits, high performers, effective at alignment and connection and communication and critical and strategic thinking. Their power skill number one, if you will, was caring. They cared about people. They cared about the projects. They cared about the clients. They cared about the impact. But mostly as people, as the catalyst to get those things done. And especially in the world of AI now, is like, I'm going to feed this GPT. And then what are you going to do with me? Are you going to upskill me? Are you going to reskill me? And am I the tool and the prize is these projects? Or are the projects the tool and I'm the prize? My personal development, my professional development. That kind of caring opens the door to so much. And if we care for the people, all of a sudden, alignment becomes easier and connection becomes easier. So that's what it's like a habit. The other habit was always being open to continuous learning, much as we've had to put in from 8 a.m. classes and learn, to always be learning, especially now in conversations we wouldn't have had a year or two ago, is a Microsoft most recent work trends report, right? Intelligence on tap. Abundant expertise. How do we stay ahead of technology to be the expert that can apply knowledge, not just the expert that holds the knowledge? When I can ask a large language model and get a good answer, it's the application and always learning. The third piece is keeping our cup filled. This speaks a little bit to the burnout, not letting ourselves build a burnout, but really as a high achiever, making sure that we are fed, we have time to learn and grow and realize that put your own oxygen mask on first, like those references. But how do we find energy? How do we find joy to then give it to others? As a leader, and I work mostly with leaders, leadership teams, I have a saying, I don't know who the attribution is, but some version of leadership done well has little to no short-term return on investment. It has a great long-term upside, probably a midterm upside, but you're giving, you're leading, helping people move from denial, resistance to exploration and acceptance. It's hard work to stay ahead. Giving us the energy to influence others is a big thing. And the fourth power skill, it is the power skill that enables all others, is taking ownership of our time. If we manage it well, lead ourselves well, put the right things in, do the right things, we can keep our cup filled. We can be learning new things. We can spend the time to build relationships, to demonstrate caring, which allows us to communicate and connect with people, to align with people. It gives us the time for critical and strategic thinking. When I see a high achieving team and a high achieving leader, and when there's something off, some of those skills aren't in place, because the habits aren't in place. And so again, as the engineer in me, there's the outcome. But let's think of systematically, the outcome is a result of outputs. The outputs is a bunch is because of activities, and the activities are because of what we put in. So I'm always thinking systematically. And so that's why I wanted to help people, not just tell them what to do, but how to do it as a pattern matcher.
No, I think that's great. And so in your work, what's been, or what do the leaders that you work with, what's the hardest habit for them to actually master or to initiate? Which one do they struggle with most?
I think it's the key leading indicator. We're run by urgency. We live in a world of urgent and important, but as a leader, we need to spend more time in important, non-urgent. Mm-hmm. And stuff comes up in a lot of organizations. We have the shape problem where there's a lot of senior people and a lot of junior people, not a lot of middle people. And so senior people are doing things that managers used to do, and it's overwhelming. The client phone call, someone needing something, yesterday's fire is a reality. And so the ones that have been able to take their time, and part of that is building better systems, building better teams, as a way to create more time for yourself. With time, these are smart people in our profession. If they had time, 9 times out of 10, they'll do the right things. They will invest in learning, keep their cup filled, but it's time. That's my final answer.
No, I think that's great, because it gets to, that's the one resource that we have that we really can't replenish. When time is used, it's gone. Can we make our time more efficient? Yes, but that minute that passed is gone. I'm not going to get it back. So what else, what question haven't I asked you wish I would have?
As it relates to high performance leadership.
It be anything, Peter.
Leadership, it's complex, but not complicated. If leaders have the time, they will figure things out. What allows leaders not to feel overwhelmed with everything going on? There's technology, there's the need for so much different, there's the need for money, we're doing strategic planning, there's PM training, there's employee engagement, there's operating systems and operating models and change of business model.
And there's cash flow, the other real demands they have as well.
What are they going to do? The demands are real. If we can build systems and teams for the next level, we can have a better future. And our ability to lead sits on top of all these urgent demands. How do you not feel overwhelmed? Level up the leadership, writing the book. This is complex, but not complicated. Let's break these things down into processes, systems, ecosystems, and break down a lot of people my vintage, 30 plus years in the business, grew up in an interesting time. We grew up in the 30 years of more for less, raised in the system. No one did anything wrong in the early 90s with the book Reengineering the Corporation, basically code for gutting middle management, right? Getting more profitable. Okay, again, we needed to become more profitable. Technology 1.0 came through our profession where engineers and architects used to just be the engineers and architects, and all of a sudden we were doing CAD work. All right, so we were designer too, progressing through our career into the 90s. We were engineers and designers, or architects and designers. And then we got to manage. And since there wasn't these systems in place anymore, you were kind of doing and managing and engineering. The Great Recession hit and young folks were jettisoned out. For almost a decade, we were slow to hire. So the people who grew up doing things themselves, like designing and engineering and managing, not only could do it, they had to do it because there was no one else. And so we just have folks who are 30, 35, 40 years in the business. They only know how to do it themselves.
You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you.
And again, the systems were built around there. Our habits were built around that. Our lack of understanding teams and team success. One of the frameworks I use in the book is the hero with helpers. Because we had to do it all. We developed this and a bunch of people helping us out and doing tasks for us. But the high achiever, the hero with helpers, became the superhero on a hamster wheel. Because we're going so fast, we just had to do ourselves. And so that is something that's hard to unpack. And we ask a senior person today that we'll start delegating. I never learned how to delegate.
Yeah.
You know, lead a team now. Most of my career I have. Once you see it, it makes sense. You can problem solve. And things get faster when we talk about why things are the way they are. Well, we're not going to delegate to people five levels below. Yeah. It's hard to delegate to someone two levels below because they don't know what to ask you and you forgot what their world is like. Mm-hmm. No one's done anything wrong. It's just hard moving into agile design, designing along with, not delegating to.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can delegate to when you have a progression in the organization, like shape of a pyramid, if you will. But when the shape is different, like an hourglass, delegation doesn't work unless you have a lot of teaching and coaching, which gets into agile design. So there is definitely not flipping a switch to what I call prosperous organizations that are creating great profit in a thriving culture, not just making money. Not just all about the culture. We need to be successful at high performance. So diving back to the question, don't be overwhelmed. Is there a way to succeed and not feel overwhelmed? Absolutely. It will take understanding systems and building better teams.
Yeah. As in some ways, you are learning to redefine what success is for you. because for the individual raised in the do everything culture, that was what they looked at as success. I view my success and identity of being able to do all of these different parts. Now you're asking me to take on a role where I'm not who I'm used to being. You're asking me to mentor, lead people who have a different expectation of success. The only thing I know is to do it all. So my expectation for the people that I'm leading is for them to be able to do it all. They can't do that. We have a communication issue. No, I can't delegate to them. Why? Because they can't do it like I would do it.
Yeah, there are some generational differences for sure. The biggest one probably being the difference between a native analog and a native digital. Work seasons are different. This is a framework I developed in reversing burnout, where we go from mastering a craft to making a name for ourselves to making a difference and leaving a legacy, and then sort of life seasons as we go. And sometimes it's just we're in a different life season and we have progressed through our career. And I remember having a conversation with a team and we're struggling with delegation and it's hard even in ideal circumstances, right? But it was just a little bit like, hey, let's just vent it out. Let's just talk. Like, what are your real frustrations from both sides, the delegee and the delegator? It was real interesting, but I remember like confronting a couple of people saying, you know what? You wouldn't even delegated to yourself 15 years ago and you're you.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't delegate to yourself, look in the mirror because you're a high performer. One thing I have huge empathy for, the sacrifice that goes into doing it all. And part of we do it all because we had to, partly we did it all because we have just high performance expectations. The clients demand this. And to let something, it's not just personal identity, but professional due diligence, talking through that and having people opt in, not just comply, but opt in to figure this out together. It's talking through that aspect. So it's just, again, not complicated, but there's a complexity to talk about as it relates to really delegating work, working with different people and understanding, mm-hmm. putting ourselves in their shoes. There's a path forward, but our instincts don't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help us move forward. It helps us, our instincts at times help us to get exactly where we are and stay there. We have to, as you say, rise above that to make progress. So Peter, there are folks that are going to be listening and they want to know, what's the best way for me to get in contact with Peter? I love the stuff that he's talking about.
Certainly, you know, actionsprove.com, my website. I'm on LinkedIn. And so look me up there.
We'll include a link to your website as well as your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. If there's one thing, one key principle, one tip that you would like listeners to walk away from our time together today, what would it be?
As a professional, there's a lot. We have a significant role in society, the built infrastructure. And I think realizing that we are a profession that must maintain itself, that must look to continue forward as an industry, that's going to be predicated on having really healthy, growing, successful organizations. And those are going to be predicated on healthy, growing leadership and leadership teams. And we're talking about a lot of workforce kind of issues and less people coming out of school than there were before, and people are coming in and going out of our industry. To some degree, I think about us as leaders, leadership at all levels. When someone comes in, are we onboarding them well so they stick? Are we leading well so more people want to come and stay? To me, it's like we look at what the impact we have on society positively. The macro trends are important, but what I can do today personally where I am, mm-hmm. To lead better, and then with my team and with my organization, I mean, that's where on the micro level is where the success lies, because macro trends are informative, but not reality. Yeah. The highest achieving teams are doing extremely well, attracting as much or more talent than they need. The ones struggling. And there'll be a larger separation between organizations and teams.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move to the part of the interview where we're going to switch roles. So you become the interviewer and I am the interviewee. What questions do you have for me?
Working with individuals who are trying to win at work and life, how do they think about their businesses and the organizations they work for? How does that play a role in helping them succeed at work and life?
So there are two different aspects of that. One would be the high performance, high achieving engineer executive. The other would be small business owner. But both cases, care has a lot to do with it. You mentioned that as one of the key habits a little bit earlier. And what I find is that in both cases, they care about their work. They care about their company and they care about the role that they're able to play in the lives of the clients that they serve, in the lives of their teams and in their organizations.
Would you say they're cognizant of who they work for, making choices based on the organization that issues paychecks? Or is it the people within the organization?
I think it's the people within the organization first. And then it's that alignment with the overall values, the culture that's created within that organization, that they have something where they feel seen, heard, and valued, and that energizes their ability to work and to show up for themselves as well as for the organization. Do you have any other questions for me before we close this thing out?
No, I just super enjoy talking with you. I think it's just to have people who are professionals within, who have different line of sights, just to have conversations, I think is empowering to leaders, is empowering to people within the organization. Because again, most of our world, a lot of our day job is focused on the details.
Yeah.
Just take a step back to see the big picture, to have these connections, I think are informing why they're doing what they're doing and how they're doing what they're doing. And again, the professional dives into the details, but we can't be so much into the details of the day that we miss out on some of the major things that are happening, the major opportunities. I love having these conversations because I lived in the world of day to day, but I live in the world now of a broader perspective, and that's cool too. And I think that's pretty essential today.
So we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to end this episode like I end every episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do, fewer people know how to do it, and there's a select group of people that follow through and do it, and they're able to live the life of their dreams. They're able to reverse burnout. They're able to be on that next level of leadership. Peter, thank you for being part of that select few.
Thank you, James. Excited to continue talking with you.
All right.